Well, just bless you all tonight. Glory to God. Thank you for coming. You'll be blessed. It's good to be with you. If you have your Bibles, you can open 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And while pages are turning, I'm going to go ahead and pray and believe God for utterance tonight. We need to hear from heaven. So, Father, we're so thankful to be here. So grateful for all that you've done, all that you've given to us, Father. Where would we be without you, Lord? And we're just so thankful for your faithfulness, Lord. That's just the word that just keeps coming up, is you're faithful. Lord, even when we weren't faithful before we came into the kingdom, but even in our times of unfaithfulness now, you're still faithful. You're still loving and kind and merciful, and we're just so thankful for that. Father, help us tonight. Lord, speak through me that my words would not be my own. We need to hear from heaven. We need your thoughts. We need your actions, whatever you want to take place in this service. And Lord, we'll make sure to give you the praise and the glory. Be God here tonight. Whatever you want said, say it. Whatever you want done, do it. And we'll just be obedient to those things. Thank you for hitting bullseyes tonight. Thank you for helping us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. It says this, it says, for bodily exercise profits little. It does profit, praise God. But godliness, oh wow. Woo, glory to God. Okay, I'll say that.
Praise God.
You know, bodily exercise profits a little bit. You know, a lot of sickness and disease can be prevented in the body of Christ.
Amen.
By diet and exercise. Oh, absolutely. And the Lord just stopped me from going any further right there when I read that, you know, it's not wisdom to say, well, there's angels and there's protection. I think I'll go play in traffic.
Right.
Or, you know, I think I'll run stop signs because I have angels. That's not wisdom. That's stupidity.
Right.
And it'll catch up to you, praise God. And when I read that, my God, I don't have this in my notes. It just, the Lord stopped me. I don't know who this is for or what it's for, but you know, if your doctor's telling you to do something with your diet and exercise and you're not, it's going to be hard for God to heal your body. Amen? Just like it's hard for God to protect you. Yeah, Caleb, you know what? I know the road looks fun and you like to ride your bike even farther than where we say you can go in the driveway, and you know you'd have a little more out there and a little smoother surface. Why don't you just go out there? We got angels. Well, that's going to be hard for God to protect my son when I'm doing something dumb like that. Amen? And so I don't know who that's for, but you know, a lot. I've had instances before where I've gone to lay hands on people, and the Lord has told me not to because it won't matter. You know, for example, you know, let's just say, I don't know anybody that's dealing with this, but let's say you have high cholesterol. And man, you eat a dozen donuts every day, and all three meals is going through the McDonald's drive-thru. I mean, it's going to be hard to pray and believe God for healing, right? Same way financially. I mean, you can apply this to all areas. God did not give us faith for us to be a dummy. And you know, financially, you can believe in God for blessings and just blowing through your money. I mean, I used to do that, you know, just blowing through your money, not even knowing what you have and frivolous things and just, you know, things when there's other things that need to be taken. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Here we're believing God for money, but yet we have a bag with a hole in it. We're putting our money in bags with holes. And so I don't know who that's for. I know that was specific for something with the body, and you know, maybe you're believing God for healing and you've been standing on it and nothing's changed. Well, maybe check up on the natural for a second. You know, what's my diet like? What's my exercise like? Give God something to work with. Amen. So had to get that out. Couldn't go on. I love when that happens, but it was for, it's to help us, not to make us feel bad about it. You know, if God wanted to make us feel bad, he'd say, okay, this is for you, so and so. You're eating like a horse and not working out and expecting God to heal you. What's wrong with you? Now, that would be God making us feel bad. I don't know who it's for, but God knows who it's for. And it's for the purpose of helping you. Anyways, it says, for bodily exercise profits a little bit. See, that person that was for, or persons, I don't know. You know, that's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah.
God giving you a word like that to tell you that's how you're going to change things. That, because sometimes I think people get down on themselves or start to question why it's not working. Well, sometimes just the smallest adjustments, and we got to make sure we're being smart naturally. Amen? Hallelujah. For bodily, I'm trying to get past this. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise. Okay, I just can't stop. And that's why it's important that you have a pastor.
Yeah.
For that kind of utterance. You know, I was in a meeting this week with all the family church pastors. See, it was on Monday, and we got together, and then we prayed after. And after my pastor spoke for 30 to 40 minutes, I thought, my God, that's why I'm so thankful. I mean, just the simplest things changed my life. I was leaving service last week, and I called my pastor about, or I texted my pastor about something. And the response was going to be too long, so he just called me, and I talked to him for 5 minutes, and it absolutely changed my life. A weight was lifted. I said, that's why you need a pastor. I said, because I'm in the same boat. I'm not trying to brag, this is why you need, you need a pastor. Amen? For words like that. For utterance like that. That's what the sheep's meant to do, praise God. We are so blessed here. Just in the body of Christ that we run with, we are so, so blessed. Okay, let's just keep trying. This verse is just holding us up tonight. Man, none of this is in the notes. It says, it's profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that is now and that which is to come. Heather, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. It says, for physical training is of some value. It's useful for a little. But godliness, and then what's it say in parentheses? Spiritual training is useful and of value in everything in every way. For it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. Hallelujah. So it's valuable for everything we do. Praise God. So that means we should probably major, and you can go back to the King James, it's not beating up people that want to work out and stuff. It's just saying there's a difference between spiritual things and natural things. That we ought to have more weight in the spiritual things, because the spiritual things are profitable for all things, not only here, but in that to come, right? Praise God. And so we're thankful for that verse, and we have been talking about spiritual disciplines. And last week, we talked about giving ourselves to the Word, didn't we? Now, I hope that you've been giving yourselves to the Word, because if you haven't, your spirit man is hungry, starving, and weak. The same thing that we looked at that will happen to the natural body. If you deprive it of food, it's going to get weak. It's going to get sick. There's going to be things that you're not going to be able to do as much, not have as much energy, not be as strong. And so, and you say, Maury, Pastor, I have dropped the ball. I maybe had one spiritual snack this week. Then just pick the ball up and run with it this week. Amen. Just do better. Praise God. And so we've been talking about that. And we saw in Galatians 5 and verse 17, that it says, you don't have to turn there, you can if you'd like, but just real quick, I say that and I can't find it. Galatians 5 and verse 17 says, for the flesh, or the natural man, lusteth, or warreth, that word means in the Greek, against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, we live in more of a natural world than we do a spiritual world, even though the spirit realm's all around us, we conduct our lives in the natural realm. So the Bible tells us that your spirit and your natural man are in conflict with each other, which is a great relief to me that I'm not going to always feel like reading my Bible. I'm not going to always feel like coming to church, even though I know it's best for me when my church has church and when there's utterance there. I know that's what's best for me in my life. I'm not always going to feel like doing it. I know spending time in the Word far outweighs, spending hours in front of the television, but I'm not always going to feel like doing that or praying and things like that. So to me, that's a great relief. It's a great weight that I need to do those things, but if I'm not all feeling gushy and getting goosebumps over it, it's okay as long as I'm doing the right thing, right? You know, I found this out, that there's days that I'll go to the gym or there's days that I'll do some working out. And there's days I really feel like it. Like I'll get on the treadmill and do the running or whatever, or lift some weights or get on the bicycle. Man, I really feel like I'm excited. I'm having fun. And then there's other days, man, I just, just get me out of here. But I know this, that if I do my work, it's the same result. Now, that is if you put the same effort into it. Sometimes maybe if you're not feeling like it, you wouldn't put the same effort. But I'm talking, you give it the same effort, but you just didn't feel like being there. You'll still get the same results, praise God. Hallelujah. And that's the same way. It's just like, the same way with the spiritual things. We just need to do them. Hallelujah. So last week we looked at giving yourself to the Word. Tonight we're going to look at giving yourself to prayer. This church, we need to step it up individually, but also corporately in our prayer lives. Because nothing gets done on the earth without prayer. And we'll look at some of those things tonight. But prayer has two benefits for yourself personally, but also for the kingdom of God, which that's my main interest. My main interest is your life and the kingdom of God. That is my number one goal. Make sure you guys are blessed and make sure, hallelujah, that the kingdom goes forward and advances and we do what we need to do for Jesus. And so I want to show you just real quick what the Word says about these two categories of personal blessings of prayer and the kingdom blessings of prayer, just to kind of set the stage for tonight. And then I'm going to show you a real popular story in the Bible, a real serious story in the Bible that brings out both the personal and the kingdom blessing that prayer can offer. So real quick, go to Luke 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. Now this is the personal side of praying. If you don't have a prayer life, I trust after tonight you will. Because you'll see in the Word that things will be lost without it. Luke 18 and verse 1. It says this, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. That means a lot, right? That means, you know, Jesus understands, obviously, you can't take that literally, because that would mean you couldn't sleep, right? That would mean you couldn't put food in your mouth unless you're, you understand, I mean, don't get into a ditch on legalism on that. He's talking about having an always consistent prayer life. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, a mighty apostle of God, said, I don't pray for more than 15 minutes at a time, but I don't go 15 minutes without praying. What is he talking about? Having a consciousness that God was always there. Because all prayer is talking to your Father. You know, let's just take all this, the craziness with this and that. It's just talking to God. That's all prayer is talking to God. Now, there's different forms of prayer, but ultimately, it's just talking to God. It says that men ought to always pray and not to faint. See the result of always praying? No fainting. Now, the Amplified, and Heather, if you pull that up, it says, also, Jesus told them a parable. Is it Amplified? Yeah, the Amplified of that, please. I'll make sure I got the right one up here. Yep. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they always ought to pray and not to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and give up. So you could say it this way, that when people aren't praying, the result will be fainting, giving up, losing heart. We don't want that. Turning coward. Right? That's the result of not praying. So really, and you'll see in these few next verses, that's quite a statement to say about prayer. That you could, we could really ask this question: which one of you want to not turn coward, not faint, not lose heart, and give up? Stand over here. And which one of you would like to turn coward, faint, lose heart, and then give up in life? You stand over here. Well, it would all come down to your prayer life. If you have no prayer life and it's non-existent and it's just minuscule, you know, maybe a little bit before your meals, and only time you're praying is 2 minutes before you hop into bed. Lord, just thank you for everything you've given me. Bless you, bless it, Lord, bless it all, you know. And you're in that category. It says, babe, you must be saying, now, I know you're not consciously saying this, but you're saying, sign me up for the turn coward crew. Sign me up for the lose heart, the give up crew. Now, you don't really want that, but that's really what in turn you're saying with a prayer life that's non-existent. But by a strong prayer life, you're saying, you know what, I don't want to give up. I don't want to turn coward. I don't want to lose heart. I don't want to faint. I want to be strong in life. Well, prayer is the result of that. Hallelujah. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Now, any time we talk about praying in tongues, listen, I grew up in a church that told me nothing about it. And my wife grew up in a church that told her nothing about it. And in fact, a lot of places in the body of Christ teach against it. It's important that you find out revelation and find out truth on it. And if your pastor mentions it and mentions a benefit, and you know nothing about it, how many of you know it's to your job to find out more? Well, Pastor, what is this tongues business? Because Paul said this, and we're not going to turn there, but I feel the need to say this. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14:18. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. That's not somebody that was down against tongues. That's not somebody that was against the speaking in tongues. That was somebody that, in fact, was saying, I just want you to know I do it more than anybody. You say it this way, somebody that was bragging about it. You know, because we all come from different backgrounds and different places, and you hear that word, man, that word is so I don't know, it just conducts a lot of different energy from a lot of different people. And so it's important to find out. But that's what Paul said about it. But look at what else the Bible says about it. Talking about praying in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, it says, "For he that speaketh or prayeth in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God." See, you're talking to God when you pray in tongues. It says, "For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries or hidden things that are not obvious to the understanding." What are mysteries in your life? What you're supposed to do tomorrow? What you're supposed to do a year from now? What job you're supposed to take? What decisions you're supposed to make? The plan that God has. Let me ask you, is the fullness of the plan of God revealed to your life? It sure isn't mine. I mean, I know bits and pieces, but I don't know everything. But the Bible says if I pray in unknown tongues, again, praying, I'm speaking out or praying out mysteries. Or you could say it this way, for that those that don't speak in unknown tongues, they don't pray out mysteries. You mean, say, what do you mean by praying out? Prayer lays the tracks for your life. And we're going to show you that tonight to get you motivated to pray. That what you are what you prayed about yesterday, you're walking into today. And what you walk into tomorrow, and I don't just mean tomorrow when you wake up, I mean the tomorrows that you'll face will be what you're praying today. So we want to lay the right spiritual tracks for our life. Praying out mysteries, speaking the mysteries of God. I tell you, tell me times I've been praying in tongues and something gets revealed about my life or about my future or about a decision, and I'll be like, oh my goodness, I had never known that. What was I doing? Praying out mysteries. Or, you know, you spend a season praying in tongues and then all of a sudden, boom, it drops in your heart what you're supposed to do. The decision, something financially that will bless you. Praise God. That's called praying out the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Well, then it goes on to verse 4 and it says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself." Edifies, or the word in the Greek means to charge or to build oneself up. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or charges himself up. So you can say it this way. He that does not spend time praying in other tongues will not be edified, will not be charged up. That there's a specific special charge or built up. So we saw in Luke 18:1 that praying, and again, praying in tongues is not the only kind of prayer. Jesus said prayer in general, talking to God. Well, this is one kind of prayer. You'll faint if you don't do it. You won't pray out the mysteries if you don't do it. You'll turn coward if you don't do it. You'll lose heart if you don't do it. You'll give up if you don't do it. And you won't be built up. So guess whose job it is to make sure you're built up? It's your job. It's your job. I'll tell you, you start your day praying in tongues or consistently praying in tongues, things won't bother you as much. Why? You're built up and stronger.
Yeah.
You are. You know, like think about, you know, a little, you know, something small structure that is a lot easier to push over than maybe something strong and fortified, right? It's because it's built up. It's built up strong. I mean, it's got foundation. It's got, and that's the same way. You pray in tongues, your love walk will be better. And your love walk determines your faith. Absolutely.
That's good.
You look at Jude 20, it says, praying always, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then it goes on, the next verse says, keeping yourself in love. You want to keep yourself in your love walk? Pray in tongues. Absolutely. You pray in tongues, you'll be so built up, the little things that bother you that get you out of your love walk start getting you to think about bad things, talk about bad things to people, talk about people, be short and snippy with people in marriages and relationships and in workplace environments with your children, with your parents. That'll be solved. Just pray in tongues. You'll be built up. I'm telling you, it works. Don't get too excited out there. I mean, my goodness, you guys are just, I don't want, you're banging through the wall here. Don't be too happy about this. I'm trying to help you to have a better life. But you won't get it if you don't do that, right? You can't get that without doing it. Well, we don't need to turn that, but James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. You say it this way, you don't have because you don't pray.
That's right.
Right? Amen. One part of prayer is asking or requests or supplications, petitions to God. So we saw in just those are just three. I mean, I just go all night on this. But that's just three personal benefits, or you could say it this way, things you'll miss out on if you don't do it. By praying or not praying. Hallelujah. Now I want to show you kingdom. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. So that was personal benefit. I'll tell you, right there ought to be enough to say, okay, I better step it up in my prayer life.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Sandy, would you like some water? Can you get her a water?
No, I have something to drink.
You're good?
I'm allergic to something.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure if you needed a water, so praise the Lord. Matthew 9:35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." So he said, there's lots of people for the harvest. The harvest is ready to be picked. That's not the problem. He's saying the problem is there's no laborers to pick the harvest and to disciple and to teach the harvest, right? So what does he go on to say in verse 38? Pray! Pray! Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. If there's any verse in the Bible that shows you that God's plan does not automatically come to pass, it's this one. Because there's nothing God wants more than the harvest. Why? Because he gave Jesus for the harvest. And he's saying, what is it? We think of the natural harvest. How does the corn get off the cornfield onto the plate or into the cow's mouth? It gets picked. Somebody has to pick the harvest. The harvest doesn't jump out of the ground and end up on your plate or end up in a cow's mouth or wherever it goes. It has to be picked. Well, the same way with a spiritual harvest. And we saw that with our place and what we have to do with leading people to Jesus and telling people about our faith. And so Jesus died on the cross for people. Well, if people don't automatically come to the kingdom, and it takes people to do it, and the Lord said there's not enough people, and the way to get enough people is to pray, then prayer must have some power. So basically, you know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, I can't help you with this harvest until you ask me to do something. Isn't it amazing that people say God can do anything? No, he can't. He can't send forth laborers into the harvest that he wants to pick unless somebody asks him. Absolutely, it's true. It's true. Can't do it. So if any verse should stand out to us that says, boy, we better be praying, it's this one. Zechariah 10 and verse 1 says, "Ask ye the Lord..." I'm just going to have her pull it up so I don't butcher it. Zechariah 10 and verse 1. Hallelujah. I don't want to flip there because it'll take me forever to find it. Because let's face it, we're not in Zechariah all the time.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to make sure. Zechariah 10:1. Is our computer frozen back there? Sometimes it freezes. Hallelujah. Well, maybe I will turn there. Oh, Zechariah. There you are. Zechariah 10:1 says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain." Look what it says. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. He's not talking about natural rain here. He's talking about the spiritual rain. What does a harvest need? A harvest needs the right amount of precipitation.
Yeah.
For a harvest to come to where we, you know, they're having a heck of a time in parts of California not having any water. And some people, this summer are thinking, man, I'll take it. But really, it would mess us up if we had drought all the time. Because the harvest needs a right amount of rainfall. Well, that's what he's talking about. Not talking about a natural rain. He's talking about a spiritual rain. The Lord raining down on people. His presence, his spirit upon all flesh. Why? Because when he rains down, the harvest can come forth out of the ground. Praise the Lord, spiritually. Glory to God. But notice this. He says it won't happen until you ask for it. That's why if you hear me praying in private or in public, you hear me say, Lord, rain down. Rain down on every man. I pray every day, Father, rain down on Chautauqua and Cattaraugus County. Every single man, woman, and child saturated with your presence, causing hearts to turn to you and hearts to turn back to you. That's what will happen when the rain gets... You imagine if we all start asking him for rain, but if you don't ask, it won't happen. You say, oh, I don't know, I thought the plan of God just happened no matter what. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. It's talking about, in this portion of Scripture, it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, which are meant to bless us. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. That doesn't sound like, oh, they'll just happen automatically. No, covet earnestly. You got to be hungry for them. You got to covet. You got to ask for them. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, just maybe a page over. Follow after charity and love and desire. spiritual gifts. So you can say it this way. If you're not coveting them, they won't happen. If you're not desiring them, they won't happen. These gifts that are meant to, the gifts of the Spirit are the gifts of God. Amen. The gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the special faith, all those gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of the spirits, all those nine gifts that God's given us, He says you need to covet them and you need to desire them. There again, it's showing us a communication with God, and something won't happen until we do that. Right? We're just kind of going over this real quick. In Acts 4:29, and then I'm going to get into that story in the Bible. Acts 4:29. Acts 4:29 says, now, notice this. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So I guess it's okay that the word's preached with boldness.
Amen.
I guess that's what we want.
Yeah. Amen.
Because they're not going to pray apart from God's word, right? If it wasn't God's word for boldness to be preached, they wouldn't have asked for it because they would know better. Hallelujah. We want a bold word.
Amen.
We want it up in our face. We do.
Right.
That's what, I mean, I'm just going to be completely honest with you, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
I was in that meeting with the pastors and my pastor's preaching. And he's going over some things that were pertinent to the body of Christ and his ministers. And I sat there convicted the whole time. Said, okay, it's time to step it up even higher. I mean, it was just in my face the whole time. I mean, I'm with you. Praise God. I'm contending for it. It means we're going to have to just realize we don't know it all. And that we make mistakes. And that there's sometimes things that need to be adjusted in our life. The quicker you realize that, the quicker you'll just understand it's okay to get in trouble. And it's okay to get your toes stepped on. It's okay. You know, when you realize, hey, I'm just not perfect. And praise God. Yeah, I'm just telling you, this happened to me the other day. I was thankful for it. So thankful for it. Acts 4:29, behold your threatenings, grant unto thy servants with all boldness, they may speak your word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Why would they ask for these things if God would do them automatically? It's because He can't do them automatically.
That's right.
God has no authority on planet Earth unless the Christian unties his hands. How do we know? Because the devil was given the power in the Garden of Eden. He's now called the God or the ruler of this world. But the Christian has taken authority over the devil through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now would we ask God in the name of Jesus, who slaughtered and done kicked the heck out of the devil in hell, praise God, we have authority now in that name. So when the ones that have authority to get what God needs don't do anything about it, God's hand stayed tied. And He can't bless us. So we need to be praying. Those are all kingdom things. So we see prayer benefits, personal and kingdom. Now let's go to Mark 14:32. Intro over. Just kidding. It's not over yet. We still no. Mark 14. And we'll start in verse 32. Now I'm going to read this story, and then I'm going to show you in two places how it pertains to personal and to the kingdom of what Jesus thought about something concerning prayer. And we'll look at the kingdom first, because we ought to be kingdom-minded first, right? I love Dr. Dufresne. I miss him so much. The impartations he imparted in my life, but he used to always say, if the church needs carpet or we need carpet, the church is getting the carpet. What? He always had kingdom first. Because he knew on the back end, God will make it up to him even more. See, he had a revelation. He just knew, but I just love his mentality of kingdom first. He always said, my bags are packed. What he meant by that, not literally his bags are packed, but that no matter what, Lord, I'll put that down, I'll leave that house, I'll leave this area, I'll leave that church, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Father. That's a way to live right there, kingdom-minded.
Hallelujah.
Mark 4, you know the people that I know that are the most sold out to God have the best lives? It's not a mistake.
Right.
You know, you try to get people to sell out to God, just do it, it pays off. Like, you have your mindset be kingdom number one. Oh man, you talk, that's real living right there. Mark 14:32 says, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John, the ones that he usually did when things were getting heated or important. And he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. Now, if you know anything about that word watch, he's asking them to pray. He's not just standing and telling them to watch the birds. No, he's asking them to pray, if you know anything about that word watch. He says, Oh, wait a minute. Verse 34. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will. And he cometh and findeth them, who? His heavy hitters. His all-stars. His studs of the bunch. He finds Peter, James, and John sleeping. And he said unto Peter, no, poor Peter, why do you have that? If I'd have been James and John, oh, thank God he didn't address me. And Peter's probably thinking, why are you talking to me? I'm not the only one here that's sleeping. But anyways, he addressed Peter. He says, Simon, sleepest thou like you're sleeping, Simon? In this time, in this hour, you're sleeping on the job? He says, couldest you not watch or pray for 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Heather, go back to verse 37. I have to mention this. He says, could you not pray or watch with me 1 hour? Now, there's no doubt you can get into a religious ditch on this and get into bondage over this, but we still ought to look at what Jesus' response was in a great time of need and when the greatest move of God was happening on the earth. He's about to go to the cross, die, and save the whole world, right, if they'll receive it. The Holy Ghost is about to be poured out. And Jesus' response to Peter and the two guys that are sleeping is, you couldn't even pray for 1 hour. Now, we think about praying for an hour as it's like going to the dentist and getting a root canal. Well, come on. I mean, let's face it. You know, the thought of, and again, you can get in a religious ditch that says, oh, I'll never accomplish anything unless I'm praying for an hour at a time. No, that's wrong thinking. We're talking about let's just look at it this way. We do a lot of natural things for more than hours and we don't think twice about it. You know, an hour of prayer would not be a problem if we had our minds renewed that the spiritual needs more attention than the natural.
Yeah.
But let's face it, we have our minds, you know, the body of Christ more into the natural, and to go pray for an hour, it just might make your flesh crawl and make your mind just go bonkers. But notice what Jesus' response was. You couldn't even do it for an hour. You know what he was saying? That's like minimum, guys. Like, you could, again, don't God, pray for at least 2 hours. No. Lord, I understand you have a life and that you're busy, but we ought to give attention to some spiritual things. But this is what I want you to see concerning the kingdom, that when big things were happening, what was Jesus doing? Praying. But what was Jesus also doing? Expecting that his own should be praying as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the best time to be alive. We are in the midst of revival. It's happening all around us. The signs of the times point to Jesus not being far away, praise God. We sense those things in our heart. We cry out to him. We know we're close. He said he was close 2,000 years ago. How much closer is he now? And we can't be caught up in more of the natural than the spiritual at this time. We're gonna be passed by on some things. Absolutely. We'll be passed by on some things. We're going to miss out. This church and our personal lives, we will miss out on God's highest and best if we're not doing some serious FaceTime. And I don't mean with your iPhone, FaceTiming somebody. I mean on your face. Now, again, don't get religious. Do I have to pray on my face the whole time? No, but, you know, I think when I'm alone in private, I think it's reverent to start on my knees or to start on my face. Not that you have to. I mean, I pray in the shower. I pray walking. I pray, you know, just driving along. I can't get down then, I'll tell you. But there's times we ought to be reverent to him. But then my knees get tired and I get up. So there, praise the Lord. You know, it's not about being in a certain position, praise God. But when I'm saying FaceTime, we ought to be doing some FaceTime with God in these times. I mean, if we want to see the move of God in this church and in this region and see the harvest come in, it will not happen without prayer. You look at all the moves of God in the Bible. I mean, what were they doing preceded the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the earth? They were in the upper room. What were they doing? Not watching, you know, not hanging out and, you know, playing bingo.
Right.
Not that those things are wrong, but they had an emphasis on spiritual things. They were praying.
Yeah.
They were praying out God's plan.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, Daniel, that even though God's plan was set forth, Daniel still prayed it out for it to happen. Just because God wants to do something on the earth doesn't mean that it'll happen. He needs people to pray it out. I don't know if you've ever heard of Charles Finney. He was in the 1800s, a dynamic minister, actually had some revivals in upstate New York. He's responsible for over 500,000 people coming into the kingdom of God. 500,000! They call him one of the greatest revivalists. I can't remember the time. I think it might have been an outskirt, or it might be Rochester back in the 1800s. He went through that town and had a revival, and not one person in the whole city was not born again because of that revival. Every single family, every single person, every single kid in the 1800s in that revival was born again in that town.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's documented. There wasn't one person that didn't give their heart to Jesus at that time. But if one thing you find out about Finney's ministry is that he was a man of prayer and he had people around him that were prayers. Yeah, that's the one thing that stands out about his ministry, that it was a ministry marked by prayer. You look at the Azusa Street Revival that happened in California with mighty signs and wonders and miracles. If you never heard of it, look it up. They said that the glory would be so thick in the places they would hold meetings in Azusa Street that the kids would play hide-and-go-seek in the fog. Yeah. We need times like that. You say, is that possible? Well, they would pray in the Bible. I didn't go on further. He said, Lord, grant unto your servants they'd speak with boldness, stretching forth their hand to heal. It goes on to say, and when they were done praying, the place was shaken.
Amen.
That's what, but you know what? Their hearts were turned towards spiritual things. Yeah, we need times like that. God hasn't changed, we have. He's the same God of the Bible, the same God of these movies of God we hear, and he's the same God now. He's just waiting for us to get in gear.
Yeah.
By seeking him, by saying, you know what? Prayer is the answer on our face. We'll never do what God's called us to do here. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I can't do this on my own. This is not a one-man show by far. We are the body of Christ. We all have a role to play. Hallelujah. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. I can speak a little bit freely on the Methodist Church. I grew up in the Methodist Church. So thankful for what it instilled in me and in the foundation, and the people were wonderful. But the Methodist Church has gotten completely far off from where it started. John Wesley was a Holy Ghost man. I'm talking signs, wonders, tongue-talking dude. He was. In the Methodist Church that I grew up in, and the family members I don't still go there, you know, they don't talk about those things, and they don't preach those things. But anyways, John Wesley was a mighty, you know, you see some of these denominations that have maybe gotten a little stale. I'm not saying they all have. And I'm not picking on them by any means. I love all members of the body of Christ. But I can speak freely because my wife came from a dead church. I came from a dead church before I got born again. And so I know. I'm talking dried up, man. No life, no Holy Ghost, no preaching the goodness of God. You know, a lot of those churches didn't start that way. You go back to their founders, I mean, they were just zipping through with the things of God, and they get off track. You know, some people do that at times. But anyways, John Wesley, mighty man of God, he said, it seems as though God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. That's a mighty man of God saying, until somebody gets on their face, we say, oh yeah, we want revival, Pastor Mike, amen. We want to see the harvest. What are you doing about it? Are you just playing along and just say, oh yeah, sign me up? Well then, if you really want to sign up, you got to sign up for some FaceTime. You know, is it important enough for you to be praying? See, must be Peter, James, and John. They should have been on their face praying for Jesus that night. And they were sleeping. And what's interesting is the Bible says Jesus came up from that place strengthened. He was strengthened, right? From praying. Praise God. Is it important enough for you, are people's lives important enough in going to heaven and walking out the plan of God, marriages being restored, kids coming to Jesus, are outpouring in this town, this community, this village, this city, all over the place? Is it important enough for you to make time to pray for it? Because if you're not praying for it, we're not going to see it. We're not going to. We'll see it in little small measures if we get some people, but we need everybody on board seeking God.
Amen.
Seeking God for the revival, seeking God for the harvest. So that's the kingdom. Think about, real quick, think about Acts chapter 12, where remember James, that one of the top three disciples was murdered. And what is the reason the Bible tells us? Because the church wasn't praying. Peter was spared. James was killed. But the Bible says constant prayer was offered up for Peter. And for some reason, see, what did God have against James? Nothing. He couldn't do anything for James because nobody was asking him. He was up there, tied up, bound, watching his servant, who was one of the top three disciples that Jesus would call out, watched him get taken away and murdered, and the whole time he's going, I want to do something about this. I want to do something about this, but I can't. I can't legally do anything. But when the church, born-again Christians, have authority over the devil, prayed for Peter, the Bible says he was spared. Showing us that God's plan will not automatically come to pass. It was not God's plan for James to die. He was an awesome laborer in the Lord. He could have done a lot of things. He had a plan. Unless we're praying. Unless we're praying, glory to God. Okay, so anyways, that was the kingdom in this verse. But now I want to show you this. Look at verse 37. He comes and finds them sleeping. Says unto Peter, Simon, you're sleeping? Could you not watch without none? Look what Jesus said in verse 38. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. See, it's a lot easier to enter into temptation and tests and trials when you're not built up strong and not turning coward, not feigning, not, you know, when you're not built, when you're built up, it's easier to stay away from those things. But he said, make sure you pray lest you enter into temptation. What's he saying? Those that aren't praying are going to be more prone and susceptible to the devil's attacks. How do we know? Because Peter wasn't praying and he spent the next 72 hours of hell on earth. The next 72 hours for Peter were hell on earth. He completely denied Jesus. Why? He didn't have enough gumption and strength to say that he was with Jesus to a little girl. A little girl said, hey, I know you. Jesus said, I don't know who he is. And not only did he have the sin of lying and being disobedient and being disloyal to Jesus, then he had the sin of regret and condemnation and guilt and shame of what he did. You know, I know we talk about Jesus saying, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. I look at that two ways. Number one, we see how important it is for the sheep to be fed. But number two, he was telling Peter, you ain't done yet. You're going to feed my lambs. I love that. Praise God. It ain't over for you. Peter thought he was done. And Jesus said, no, feed my sheep. What were you trying to do? Get it in his head that you're a feeder, Peter. You're a feeder, absolutely. Hallelujah, glory to God. Peter didn't pray and his life looked a certain way, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when I see people struggling and they're short with their spouse or they're frustrated, or I see the gloom and doom or the Eeyore spirit set on them, I usually ask one question, what's your prayer and word life like? And usually in those cases, it's non-existent or very minimal. Why? Because the word builds you up, prayer builds you up.
Amen.
Take those two things away and you're not built up. Amen.
Amen.
So, the point is, we need to pray.
Amen.
We need to pray. So, without making this any longer, we're going to pray a little bit tonight. Now, we're not going to pray that hour. We're just going to pray for a few minutes. But I'm going to lead in prayer. And you can kind of see how I'm praying at home and things that you should be praying for. Because I'm not going to be praying for all the things I'm believing for on my confession list, which is like two or three. I'm not going to be praying for, you know, the Cubs to finally win a World Series. Which I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen. Either Bills are never going to win one in my time. I just know it, not going to happen. And no, the Yankees aren't either, Jeff. Actually, the Yankees probably will. But anyways, I'm not going to be praying for my stuff. I'm praying for the kingdom stuff. I want to lead you and show you. Now, you've all been directed, I think, on how to pray for your pastor. And hopefully you have that sheet. And if you don't, we could get you one. And if you're not using it, my goodness, I'm asking you to pray for me. We see that the devil can get to people if people aren't praying. Please be praying for your pastors. Hallelujah, we need it. Glory to God. But anyways, we're going to lead you in prayer for the kingdom of God. Now, while I'm praying these things, you can pray. You can agree with me and just kind of jump on board and get your faith in there. But then I'm also going to pray in tongues. Now, again, if this is so foreign to you, and if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost during that time, just continue to worship God. Continue to pray in English. But we can't deny that that is a huge part of our walk with God. The Holy Ghost poured out. And so I'm going to pray, and you kind of can take mental notes while I'm praying to kind of give you direction. You can go back. Hopefully, let's leave live stream going. So hopefully you can go back on live stream and you can listen to how I'm praying and seeking God. And then if you're here, you say, man, that tongues business, I'm not sure about it. The important thing when you're not sure about something, it's like this. When I saw things of the Holy Ghost for the first time, I knew it was okay because I knew the fruit of the tree. I knew my pastor. I knew that he, wait a minute, he's a Bible guy. And I said, I don't know everything. So If it's foreign to you, if you've never heard it before, never been around it, don't just totally dismiss it. Come with a meek spirit and say, Pastor, can we look at these things? It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me besides getting born again was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. So anyways, if you're not filled during that time and you want to be filled, come forward and say, Pastor, I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll lay hands on you and you'll open your mouth and speak in tongues. It'll happen that quick. But let's go ahead right now. And you can, if you want to get up and you know, stand up, if you want to kneel, if you want to pace. We don't have a lot of room for pacing in here, but our next building will have pacing room. And whatever you want to do, but let's go ahead and let's just pray. And I always like to start praying by just rejoicing and praising God. Father, we love you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you, Father. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We bless you, Father. We thank you for all that you're doing. All that you're... Father, we glorify you. We magnify you tonight. I'm going to leave it on because of live stream. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you tonight. Praise your holy name. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing, for all that you've done, for all that you've given us. Father, we love you. We want your will to be done on this earth. Father, we want your plan to take place on planet earth. Father, we want it, Lord. We want you more than anything. Father, the world needs you. They're hurting. Father, they need you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you'd send the rain. Lord, we ask for the spiritual rain. Send the rain. You said in your word to ask you for the rain in time of the latter rain. Father, rain down upon all people. Rain down upon all flesh. Father, in specific, in the counties that we are pastoring in here in Chautauqua and Cattaraugus. Father, send the rain, saturate people, every man, woman, and child, causing hearts to turn to you and hearts to turn back to you. And Father, we need people to see that you're good. Father, you said in your word that you would confirm it with signs following. Lord, we want people's faith to rest in the power of God, not in the wisdom of man. So Lord, we covet, we desire, and we ask for the spiritual gifts. Father, grant forth and stretch forth your hand to heal, Lord, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. Father, all nine manifestations of the Spirit in operation in these end times. Father, we want it. We crave it. We desire it. We need to see it. People need to experience your goodness, Father. Oh, rain down, Lord. Rain down. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Thank you for the great harvest. Satan, you take your hands off the harvest. You keep your hands off the harvest. And angels go forth and cause the harvest to come. Influence people to come to church. Influence people to be born again, to come into the right place. Laborers go forth and reach out to people, strengthen people in the name of Jesus. Father, we're in the midst of revival. We thank you so much. We thank you. You're pouring your spirit out. We thank you that we'll see, Father, people come into the kingdom. We're believing for hundreds, Father God. We thank you. We'll see great blessings. We'll thank you that this community will never be the same. This county will never be the same. This state, this country, will never be the same, Father God. We crave, we desire more from you. Now, Father, concerning the plan of God and concerning revival and concerning your move of the Spirit, I have prayed the best that I know how in English. But Father, I thank you that we are not limited by praying with our natural minds. I thank you we can pray in the Holy Ghost, which is praying out the perfect will and the mysteries of God. We thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. Now, Holy Ghost, I trust that you'll give me utterance tonight to pray in line with God's will according to the harvest. That's what we're setting our hand to the plow tonight, to pray for God's plan, to pray for God's purposes, to pray for God's will to be done in this church and in this region. But Holy Ghost, I always give you the opportunity. If you need to interrupt, if there's somebody that's in danger, if there's something that is a great need that needs to be prayed out, look, Holy Ghost, I give you permission to lead me in that direction. But unless I get any of those things, I thank you that when I open my mouth to pray in tongues, I will be praying according to the harvest. I will be praying according to the plan of God. For you are my helper, and when I ask my helper to give me utterance, you'll give me utterance in that direction. So, Father, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Matraste introbosundu dushandaravastete betete. O ambrasiti matosho trofasate le meste. O prastatilisa makotosha rabaste tendedo. Yeah, yamasutundurupaste. More influence, mate se in toto tara pase que tamasin do sodo ha in the busco todo sa plate now prasego to sobran pasito to shoot andrete masito masoto masa ya maso o ota shande now prate na to shu in to romasa pare mese coto botolo fantini sembra papa Hare beto sobroco masi, aha, ya, mashiko pasoto to so rampade, rapasi in to shadromba, rabababe santata leveso, ho masiti yata. Yeah, I see that, Father. It's glorious, Lord. I see that, mate se toma. Ara mama se to do sopro mama siti, o prashikiti sobra mamastete, ha ha de. Hare masiti zibreme me metotoso. O brahma mama mate se kutosha drase tete. Lama bate se bleme totoso tropo kota chandre. Laska testo troma siti. Prapa se ronto masharete. Haha masato. Metoro so brahma maste. Brahma mesto roma mosto ro fastito robur. Now ma tasho toko. Now prasete maskore masinte la fastete. Brapa tustu romaste letoto. Nala matesto toro basonto to. Ha ha ya. Entosita masu la peta masuto lo fosto bero sondo mashti nosta carete. Aha ya. Oh basata, oh ya Brahma, endora sita, maresatora papaste, abra meshenk dosta drabastate, bro patal siti, abra se katosta, endro masatate, aramaste te lo fesendo, embrasato da se trepe se co, me se, ma, se, ya, mas tu la sande, Envrosta bashiti da basda ramasto, oh masi, yeah, aha, yeah, masoto shatase bentoto, oh prasiketa mashtatra, la brandusta, Father, we thank you tonight for utterance from the Holy Ghost. Lord, you said in your word when we pray in tongues that the Spirit of God gives us utterance according to your perfect will. So, Lord, we just prayed for a short time for the perfect will of God to happen in this church and in this region, for the harvest, for the outpouring of God. Father, we bless you tonight. Let's just praise and glorify Him. We bless you, Father. Hallelujah. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I don't know who all is listening by live stream, and I don't know everybody personally here. Ask yourself this question, if you can hear my voice. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. Would I go to heaven? If the answer isn't a 100% yes, I'm here to tell you how you can get your ticket punched to heaven. If the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Praise God. It's simple. It's free. It doesn't matter how much or how little you've gone to church, how good or how bad you've been in life, how much or how little you've given to charity. It matters what you do with Jesus. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, we won't embarrass you. All you have to do is if you believe in Him, you are qualified and you are ready. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus here tonight, would you just lift your hand in the air? Is there anybody at all that you're not sure you'd go to heaven and you know you want to? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus that never has? Father, I don't see any hands in the sanctuary. And if by chance there is somebody here or listening by live stream that needs to receive you, I pray they would not pass from this life till they made Jesus their Savior. And if I'm talking about you and maybe you were shy or you didn't raise your hand, all that looks like is just saying, Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. If you call on Him in that way and you mean it with all your heart, He'll be faithful to do what He said He would do. He'll save you. He'll become your dad and you'll be on your way to heaven. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, that's just a taste of what we're going to start doing around here, just so you know. I'm seeking God on what that means, because I know there's one thing in my spirit that we need to start doing around here, and that's praying more together and to be releasing our faith more together and to get into corporate prayer. Now, again, if the whole tongues thing weirded you out and you're just like, well, I don't know anything, come see me and we'll just go through the Bible and we'll look at it and it'll calm those apprehensions and it still might be crazy to your mind, but at least you can say, well, it's the Word. I need to renew my mind to it. Amen? Thank you for your faithfulness. So I'm saying we got some stuff done in the Spirit tonight. You said we only prayed 5 minutes, but yeah, there was a lot of us for 5 minutes. Praise God. So love all of you. Have a good rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You are dismissed.